Good morning and welcome. Let's open with prayer. Father, we are thankful that we can meet here for the purpose of worship. We are thankful that you are present. Let us always be mindful of that. We are thankful for your having revealed to us through your word, the scriptures. In your name we pray. Amen. I first of all want to say thank you to all of those who helped with the snacks during the winter quarter. It's a little diversion that's different, and I think welcomed. Today we begin meeting here for the opening of Sunday school, and this quarter deals with prophets. And today's lesson is the prophet of deliverance, or a mediating prophet. And I picked out a few comments, points from Sunday school meditations from Craig Everhart, that these are the characteristics of true prophets. One, they speak in the name of the God. They are chosen from within the tribes of Israel. They speak the words that God puts in their mouths. They will be vindicated or proven true by the fulfillment of the message. I was reminded that in this last quarter, we had one Sunday school lesson that talked about some prophets, some ladies who were prophets in the New Testament. And we had a little bit of a discussion here in the Sunday school class, and mostly just a couple questions, and it sent me back to study. And what I found is that in the New Testament, the responsibility of speaking God's words changed from the prophets of the Old Testament to the apostles of the New Testament. And so that's why we have many of our books in the New Testament are written by the apostles. In fact, maybe all of them, I guess. They're written by the apostles. Those are God's words. The role of the prophet seems to have changed. And in 1 Corinthians 14, prophets are spoken of in the same setting as those who speak in tongues. And I think there's a correspondence there. This is my personal take from what I read, that those who prophesy today speak words that are meant to admonish the believers. Those who speak in tongues are meant to admonish the believers, although Paul makes it very, very clear that if you speak in tongues and there's nobody around to interpret, your admonishment isn't any good, all right? Somebody has to interpret. So I think a prophet is one who just speaks in the normal language and everybody understands. But I did ask myself the question, given the characteristics of a true prophet, are there any parallels for us today? And I think there are some parallels for us today. Just like the true prophet was related to God, not some foreign God, children of God call themselves that because they're related to God and they follow Jesus, not some foreign idol. We are chosen by Christ because of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they were chosen by God. We as children of His are chosen by prompting of the Holy Spirit. They spoke the words that God put in their mouth. It is our responsibility to speak the words that are driven by the truth from God's word, the scriptures. Finally, they were proven true or vindicated by the fulfillment of their message. And on occasion, those prophecies were in the future, and they're still, as we would say, hanging out there to be had. For the Christian, we will be validated, if not before, we will be validated in the end. When we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." In the Old Testament, people were to love God, which was shown by keeping his commandments. In the New Testament, we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.
Good morning, everyone. Very good to see you. Derek and Cassie and your girls here today. It's been a little while. Good to see all of you here. Thankful for the warm weather that's coming, warmer weather, they're predicting anyhow, by Tuesday in the 60s. And this week going out in the morning and hear the singing of the birds, it always just really blesses my heart early in the morning. To hear the singing of birds, always, always grateful for their Heavenly Father. This morning we're going to be looking from John, the latter part of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5. I do want to say thanks for your prayers for me over the last month and the tearing of ligaments in my left leg. It's not that I sat around and didn't do anything. In fact, I was more busy than usual because of many of our drivers sick with COVID and this and that. And so as salesmen, at every chance we had, we were supposed to haul out bag feed to make sure that all the feed got out in time. And I think that all happened. Grateful for that. And but it is improving, and I'm thankful for that as well. And thank you for prayers in my behalf. This morning, we're going to be looking at some of the work that Jesus did. I was just so amazed as we completed chapter 4, or at least what had to do with the lady there at the well. And remember, they asked Jesus to stay for another 2 days that they might hear more of what he had to say. And verse 41 says, "And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" What a great confession to come from these many Samaritans who believed that Jesus was really who he claimed to be, the Savior of the world. Now, starting at verse 43, "Now after the 2 days, he departed from them and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast." Now that's referring to the Passover when Jesus had gone up there and cleaned house with all that he saw going on that was against what should happen in the Father's house. And so that's what's referred to here. "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." I went back to the last verse in the book of John. Do you know what it says? Let me just read it for you. This is John speaking. And he says, "There are also many other things that Jesus did, which they were written. If they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. Think about that. If everything was written down that Jesus had accomplished while here on the earth, the world wouldn't be able to contain the books. That's quite a statement. As I was preparing this message for today, I was thinking about Jesus, even though he was a human man, he was yet the Son of God. He was God incarnate in human flesh. And to think as these disciples were with him day in and day out, watching how he operated, how he called on his Father for help, and just to observe what was going on day by day as they toured from Judea through Samaria up to Galilee. Really not, they didn't cover much territory, just a small country about the size of our New Jersey. And yet what an impact he made on the world of that day and for the world of all time. I was thinking in preparation of a man I met some years ago, about 5 years ago, I think, to be exact, a man who came down to Gordonville to work for Hoover's as a nutritionist. He came from the area around State College, grew up on a dairy farm where they milked registered jerseys. He had turned this over to his son. And in the meantime, I got to know this man really well. And one day he was telling me, he said, "You know what, Ken?" He said, "Against the wishes of my family," his grandfather was a minister in the German Baptist Church, which is a very conservative church, somewhere in the area of Belleville, in that general area. And he said at Penn State, they came in there recruiting young men to go into the armed services. And he said, much to the chagrin of my family, I decided, I was young and looking for adventure, and I decided to sign up and go wherever they would send me. Well, he said, Ken, I ended up going to Somalia and saw things that a human being should never see. And he said, I came out of there very happy to be alive. I do have a bullet in my back that can't be taken out lest I be paralyzed for the rest of my life, so it stays there. But he said, recently I've been having terrible nightmares, and I don't know what to do about it. I said to him, Jake, I said, take it to the Lord. I said, Jesus never went through anything harder than what we go through in this life. And I said, I have no idea what you saw over there that would cause these great nightmares. But I said, just call out to him and say, Lord, if you could calm the sea, just calm my mind so that I can get good night's rest. A couple of days after that, he said, you know what, Ken? He said, I took you at your word. And he said, my nights have been much more restful. And I know he just shared with me, he said, I would never talk about some of the things I saw over there, how humans can treat other human beings. And we hear these things all the time, and we wonder how human beings can treat other human beings so inhumanely. So over a course of time, I became really good friends with this man. And I pray for him. He lost a son in a very tragic accident, and we had gone to that funeral. And he seems to have come through that pretty good. But the things that we go through in life that we wonder sometimes how we're going to make it through, let's just remember that Jesus is the one who didn't go through anything worse than we ever will. Yesterday on the way home from York County, they had on WDAC just the whole story of Jesus' trial. And once again, my eyes welled up with tears to think of the terrible treatment that he endured, the Son of God, in our behalf. And not only for us, but for all mankind. Yesterday morning, I was listening to it. Every year about this time, they have Focus on the Family puts on WDAC consecutive Saturdays of the audio version of Ben-Hur. Oh, I love to listen to that. Yesterday, in the finale of it, for those of you who don't know about it, I'm not going to go into much detail, but anyhow, he gets back to Jerusalem and is at the site where Jesus calls out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you know the story at all, Ben-Hur had terrible unforgiveness in his heart. But he had known how Jesus had been treated, and he was there at the scene. And his mother and sister, who had leprosy, were healed by Jesus. And he was there at that at that crucifixion scene and was totally blown away at the love that he saw exhibited there for all mankind, for all mankind. Now here is Jesus as he moves about throughout Galilee. He came back to where he began his ministry in the turning of the water to wine, which was in Cana. And this nobleman meets him. Now we could say that this man would be someone like, a senator or a representative in our government. Anyhow, a man of some authority, but he couldn't do anything about the sickness of his son. And so he says to Jesus, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, "Well, you go your way, your son lives." So the man believed that word, and when he met a servant on the way, he said, "What time did my son get better?" And he told him, and it was the exact same time that Jesus said, "Your son lives." Now look at this man. When Jesus told him, "Go your way, your son lives," the Bible says that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Then when he hears that his son again was fine and he got better at the very hour that Jesus said he would, he again believes, the Bible says, and his whole household believed. This is again the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee, the first being the turning of the water into wine. I think about Jesus as he moved around through all of Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, and the people he met. And, you know, we just have a sampling of the people that he met. Because, as John put it, if all the things that Jesus did and said were written down, the books couldn't contain them all. So we have just a sample of the people's lives that were touched by Jesus as he came and went. So we come to chapter 5. And again, I want to read this, and I'll read through verse 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Jesus answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know it was who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Sir, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. To begin this chapter, there is another feast of the Jews, and in the footnote, they think it might have been the Feast of Tabernacles, but Jesus was at Jerusalem anyhow, and I don't know whether he just walked into this area called Bethesda. When we were over there, we saw that place. We saw the water that it talks about here. Interesting to note that at a certain time, an angel went down into the pool and stirred up the water. I'm not sure what all that means other than what the scripture tells us. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had or she had. Now let's take a look at this man. He had been in this condition for 38 years. Now that's a long time, not being able to move around. And every time this water was stirred up. Somebody always beat him into the water. Can you imagine? I was trying to think about that. How unfortunate for this man to get his hopes up and try to get down into that water after it was stirred up. No, always someone beat him. And the letdown feeling to know I just didn't make it in time. And so he tells Jesus, every time the water stirred up while I'm trying to get down there, another steps in before me. And again, my hopes are dashed. Recently, I heard Johnny Erickson Tata talking about the length of her infirmity. And she said, you know, I'll be very honest about it. When it happened to me way back when I was a teenager, I just pled and pled with the Lord to heal me. When it looked like I was not going to be healed, I asked people to help me take my life. But for the grace of God, she said, I overcame all that depression. And I thought, you know, a young teenager with all the rigor and vibrance and get up and go, to all of a sudden be totally paralyzed, your whole body totally paralyzed. Try to think about that. How that would be so hard to deal with. But she went on to say, I had complete belief that Jesus could have healed me, and I know he could have. But she went on to explain about how if he would have healed her back then, she would not have realized how many people in the world were in the same condition she is and had no help in being able to get around. So you know how that the organization Wheels for the World was organized, and she went to many areas of the world to see people who was in the same shape that she is in, and how these wheelchairs help people throughout this world to get around in a way that they never could before. And so I can look back over my life, she says, and see what a blessing it was that God did not heal me, even though to this very day I long to get out of this confined body and go to be with him. And I think most of you know that she's dealt with a couple bouts of cancer. She still stays alive and is vibrant in her testimony for Jesus. Oh, how it gives me strength and courage to hear her talk, knowing that every day I get up and go and think nothing about it. And all of us here this morning are pretty much like that. We get up and do every day what we want to do. And so Jesus has the ability to heal. All he has to do is say the word. And here's this man who is so let down by the fact that every time he tries to get down into this stirred up water, someone beats him. And Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Instead of saying, yes, Lord, he tells Jesus about what happens every time he tries to get into the water. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And so immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Of course, the Jews had their rules about what could be or couldn't be done on the Sabbath. And it was not lawful. In other words, it was not anything to be carried on the Sabbath day. I forget what they had it broke down to, but it couldn't be more than a pound or so, or else it was work. So it's work for you to carry your bed. It's not lawful for you to do that. And he said, well, the man that made me well said, take up your bed and walk. Of course, we know who that man was. It was Jesus. And Jesus found him later in the temple and said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So what does the man do but immediately goes and tells the authorities who had made him well? And I'll let Wayne take it up from there next Sunday. But Jesus has the ability to heal, and yet he doesn't always decide to do so. I know when I had one brother and he came down with leukemia, I prayed desperately that God would heal him. But it wasn't God's will. And so my only brother was taken. And I've learned over the years that God has his reasons for answering or not answering our prayers. As long as it brings glory to him, then we need to be satisfied with that. And I know it's not easy to see God working in our lives each and every day to take us where he wants us to be. And yet God always knows best. As we were discussing the lesson this morning about the power of God that Moses told the people there at the base of Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, whichever you want to call it. God came down and was on the top of that mountain, and the people could hear him speak, and they were scared to death. And Moses had put a boundary around. He said, you don't step over that line or your life will be taken from you. And picture that in your mind. I'm sure the people stayed well away from that boundary, which was put around the mountain. But can you imagine what it would have done to you to hear the voice of God, not being able to see him, but knowing that the God, the creator of the universe, was up there on top of that mountain? And yet Moses went up there, and the Bible says that no man conversed with God like Moses did, as they talked back and forth, man to man, a human man and the eternal God. And then the eternal God comes down in the person of Jesus. And as Jesus walked through the countryside and made changes in the lives of people, what thankfulness came into their hearts and into their lives because of what Jesus did for them. And I know in a couple of weeks we're going to celebrate Passover and Easter. But do you know, as I was thinking yesterday and listening to that whole story again, these men that Jesus called to be his disciples never, never caught on to what he was up to till after the resurrection. We tend to be slow learners, but let's just, as we go out this coming week, let's just think about all that Jesus has done for us in and through our lives, and help us to always be prepared for that unexpected moment when we might have a chance to just witness for our Lord and Savior for what he did and is doing constantly in our lives. These men that were healed here in our story this morning, I'm sure it made a tremendous difference in their life and in their love for Jesus, for bringing healing into their family situations. So as we go this coming week, let's just thank and praise the Lord for sending Jesus. For where would we be today without his great love, a love that took him to the cross to die for our sins? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the pen of John, who penned these precious words for us to read and to see how lives were changed when you met them on the dusty trails throughout the area of that day, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And finally, to go to that cross on Calvary and give your life so that we could have renewed life and be part of your family. So go with us, each of us, this week as we go about our work, that we might always be giving a living witness of what you have done in our lives and what you will continue to do. Bless each family here, from the oldest to the youngest, to those in our congregation who are expecting newborns. Just pray your blessing upon them, and may they safely be born when the time is here. And so thank you again for loving us and caring for us, and we give you thanks and praise as we go forth throughout this next week. We give you praise in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Go, and God be with you.